things that make you scratch the back of your head and raise your eyebrow. You know?
Did they just find out that this little girl could sing and they were like, we'll toss that into the film?
Right. Let's have her show off her chops, you know?
Yeah. This might get her a job later in life. We'll throw it in there for them. What's poppin', y'all? Welcome to Post Finale. I'm your host, Ankit Madeira. I'm an actor and a singer who has not seen a lot of films, so to make my friends happy and potentially provide a new perspective on some popular films, I am on a quest to change that. I am never on this quest alone, however. This week, I am once again joined by actress and my lovely friend, one of the friends that has gotten annoyed that I haven't seen anything, Adoria Lilly. Welcome back onto the show. How are you?
Hey everybody, and hello again, friend Ankit. I'm great. I'm awesome. I have been dying to get back on here. You know, there were so many movies I wanted to talk about.
There were many where you texted me and you were just like, I'm glad you finally watched it. And I'm like, yeah, I get around to things. But yeah, our schedules just have not aligned in the last, I guess, like year and a half now it's been. We haven't had time to actually both sit down and dissect a film. We've had time to like just chat here and there, but like not really like sit down and like watch a film and dissect it and go through it for sure. But
well, the amazing thing is now we're on the same continent. You're not in London now, you're here, so
it does make it easier when I'm in the same continent, because yeah, there was a period of time where I was in Europe, there was a period of time when I was in Asia. And then we ended up in the same continent, and it all worked out. Now, we are here. We are talking about Hook, the 1991 film with Robin Williams. Adoria, when I texted you about this, you were like, yes, I'm always down for more Robin Williams. What's your history with the film? When do you remember when you first watched it? Why do you like this film? Why do you keep coming back to it?
One answer, Robin Williams. He is one of the best to do it, if not the best, argumentatively, in so many circles with entertainers and just fans alike. I would have loved to work with that man before his passing. I really would have. He is amazing at everything that he does. He really immerses himself in characters. A lot of people had many nice things to say about him. So those sweet characters you also saw in those films were really kind of like aspects he was bringing into his life. So, and he tried to keep that inner child alive. And you can tell that it really computes on screen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. If there's anything that I've learned from watching Robin Williams over the years, it's okay to be childish. It's fun. It's okay. It's okay to be childish.
I mean, you do it well, and why not get paid to do it?
He's not skirting the responsibilities of being an adult, but he's also like, I'm going to have fun and I'm going to be silly and it's going to be okay.
Right.
Like,
organically, him and true to his nature. There's some people that say, you know, some people are characters and they're just always turned on, but it just seems like him and his charm, and I wouldn't have had it any other way. Mega fan.
I loved it. It's incredible. It's great. I love Robin Williams. He is one of my favorite actors. I mean, there's a list of people, but I have never seen something with Robin Williams and thought, why was that made?
Exactly.
But I have heard that there are a couple things out there that he has done that might pose that question, as there are with any artist, right? Like, that's just the way that it works. There are definitely projects that I feel like we all look back on and we're like, well, that was a thing that I did.
Definitely. I don't have a laundry list yet as, you know, any kind of known actor, but when that traction comes, I definitely have a project or two in mind, and I'm like, yeah, it was just a stepping stone. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, no, I mean, there are some projects that, I have loved being a part of, and most of the projects that I've done, I have loved being a part of, and I have had the opportunity to work with some incredible, fun people who are very, very talented. There are also projects that I have done in my limited time of being an actor and being a professional actor. In the limited time that I have been pursuing this, there are still some projects where I'm like, that was a paycheck. Cool. And that was kind of it. And that's okay. Sometimes it pays your rent and you gotta be okay with that. And, and not saying that there are not lovely people that you meet and kind people that you meet on those sets as well. For whatever reason, as an artist, that just isn't your cup of tea. That doesn't mean it was a bad project by any means. It just means that for you, it wasn't your cup of tea. But you still give it your all. You still be a professional. Anyway, we're talking about Hook, and this is going to be a chunky episode. So I say we jump into it. Where we're at, Adoria, just so that you know, in terms of my predictions. So I'm pretty sure that, Robin Williams as Peter Pan, he's going to figure out what's going on. He's going to get trained. He's going to save the day, yada, yada, bada bing, bada boom. It's going to happen. Like, there's no way around it, right? I feel like Hook is going to be fine at the end of the movie. Nothing's going to happen to him. Like, he'll lose, but like, oh no, he'll be like banished or something. Like, it's not, Peter's not going to kill him. It would really, really put a sour taste in my mouth if Peter kills Hook in this movie. I am, however, on the train that Wendy or like one of the kids, someone that we care about, is not making it out of this film alive. And I'm pretty sure it's Wendy. I feel like Wendy's just gonna croak at the end of the film. Yeah. Again, I appreciate you can't say anything. But yeah, this is where I'm at. I thought Wendy was gonna croak earlier in the film. She didn't. So like, don't get me wrong, I'm happy. I'm pleasantly surprised. But I did think that Wendy was gonna die earlier in the film. There was a scene, I think it was when she was like, they were at the gala, they were at the ceremony, and I literally go, so Wendy is either about to die or very emotional. Turned out she was very emotional, but like, oh boy, it could have gone either way.
I can tell you this, there was never a dull moment in this adaptation of Peter Pan and all-star cast. We definitely focus on
Incredible.
Robin, but
Oh, yeah, I think the first episode of this, so I'm a little behind in terms of recording, peek behind the curtain for anybody that's listening. I'm a little behind in terms of recording, but I think actually episode one of this show of us going through Hook is already out. And I think that's the title of episode one, which is just Star-Studded Cast or something along those lines. Like, it is an incredible, incredible cast.
And honestly, until being, older and like now in present day, didn't realize like Dustin Hoffman, it looks like he had like a family affair on the set, like his kids or whomever was in the cast.
Wait,
And
what? Who are his kids?
Rebecca Hoffman is Jane in the play, and then Jake Hoffman is a little league player or something. Like, sometimes they stars have like family members and stuff as smaller roles or whatnot. Max Hoffman played a version of like Peter Pan and stuff too. Like it was a family affair. But
That's cute. That's cute. I like when it's like, hey, my family members are gonna be in it. But also, like, I'm not gonna have them be huge parts of the cast if it doesn't, like, if they don't fit the bill, right? And so it's like, I don't mind something where it's like, hey, yeah, Dustin Hoffman's daughter is in the film. Okay, she says two lines. Like, it's cool. Or, like, the son is in the film. Yeah, he just is the pitcher. Why? Because they needed someone that could throw a baseball, and Dustin Hoffman was like, yeah, my son can do it. And so he threw a baseball. Like, that's okay. That's chill. Like, that's just a fun day of work with dad. It's like, yo, I gotta watch the kids anyway. Can I just bring them to set? And, like, you can stick them in the movie.
Definitely, definitely. Perks, right? Perks. And I'm pretty sure Robin made it very interesting and fun for them to be on.
Oh, I'm sure he did. Now, speaking of Dustin Hoffman, we gotta jump into a scene with him. So, Hook, about to go into existential crisis. That's what we nicknamed this scene right before we started recording. But Hook is now wondering why he let Pan go and why he didn't kill Peter Pan when he had the chance. He now has to wait. Whether it is 3 days or 3 decades, he'll always be fat old Pan. And Hook is just being disappointed. He hates being disappointed. He hates living in this flawed body. And I just go, what's the flaw? And then I immediately go, oh, right, he has a hand for a hook. No, he has a hook for a hand. Words are hard. Yes.
Words. You know, as actors, we use them a lot, but, you know, that's what makes it interesting. Bloopers and stuff like that, right?
If we ever get to a point, and I hope we do, where I'm making merch for this show, definitely a t-shirt or a mug or something is going to have the phrase words are hard, because I say that constantly.
Yes. Yes.
But yeah, words are hard. But right, that's the flaw. He's missing a hand. That took me a minute to process. Thank you. Thank you. I'll be here.
Yeah, I'm here to support.
Yeah, I appreciate it. He also continues. He's like, I hate living in Neverland. I hate Peter Pan. Meanwhile, Smee, having the time of his life, because at the start of this whole speech, Hook is, like, disappointed, and Smee's like, shall I make you a plate, sir? That's not the right accent for Smee. I don't know what Smee's accent is. That was not Smee's accent, but that was a voice.
That was a choice. That was a choice.
It was not the right choice, but it was a choice. I will critique myself. It was not the right choice. But Smee is like, can I make you a plate? And Hook just kind of waves him off. Smee proceeds to make this plate of what seems like delicious food. And then instead of handing it to Hook, is devouring the plate of food.
Oh, you gotta help yourself. Like, why let it go to waste if you want to sit over there and wallow in self-pity and misdirected rage? I'm gonna eat and be slightly entertained, because that misdirected rage is going to come at me eventually. So
right? And okay, I don't know who plays Smee. Do you know who plays Smee?
Bob Hoskins.
Okay. I hope that he got to actually eat. Because that food looked good. And I hope he just got to enjoy himself on set that day.
Well, the perks of, I guess, actors, what I've learned so far and, like, digested from listening to maybe their podcast, their old interviews, is that they had a lot of perks too back in the day versus what we do now. And besides commercials where they just chew and then spit it out, I'm pretty sure he probably did. And it was treated very well, because prior to Hook, I don't know, I think I'm going to be mixing it up, but prior to that, he was, you know, starring in Who Framed Roger Rabbit, and
wait, is he the lead in that?
Yes. And he is the lead in Mario Brothers, the first live action one in 93 with John Leguizamo as Luigi.
I say this with love. I love Mario. Mario should not be a live action movie.
I get it, but as a kid and watching the 1993 one, I'm okay with that just being the only one. I understand we have better CGI and graphics and stuff now.
Sure.
But that one, I like it. You know, there were people who would pick it apart today. But
I
like it.
I have no gripe over what has already existed. All I'm saying is, big conglomerates, we don't need a Mario live action movie.
People constantly in comments under everything that they know is coming or just was released, and they're like, please stop with the live action. Just stop.
Here is, and I've said this on multiple episodes of this podcast, or I think it was this podcast. It might have been Flip the Scripts, but the Lilo and Stitch live action, I'm looking forward to it. I am hopefully optimistic. However, they better keep in three important bits is what I've decided now. One, Stitch needs to be a record player. They need to leave that in there. Yeah, two, they need to leave in, he's touching me, I'm not touching me. I'm not touching her.
Touch me, not touching.
Three, they need to leave in the fight with the little white girl.
Yes. Okay. This is what makes her spunky. Like, you have to have that confrontation. It sets the tone. If they tweak it.
Yeah, I don't need the actress to be a little white girl. Like, I don't care who the actress is. That fight needs to be there. That interaction needs to exist in the film.
It's just realistic, because if I lost my parents and I only have my older sister raising me and I really don't have anyone and I'm frustrated and someone's constantly picking on my character or just me, I'm like, there's going to be a frustrating boiling point, you know? So, I do agree on especially that third one you said. The record player, I agree on that one too. My other main one would probably be, or I'll pick my three. I agree with two out of your threes. Mine would be the hula scene where David catches on fire and he comes up with soot. Like, he has to have the soot. I want them to be safe. No one really catches on fire. But he has to, you know, come with that, like, you know, he's charismatic, but he's a little clumsy. So that's his charm. I know people already don't like that Nani is not technically fully correct. Like, the little Lilo kind of looks like him. Stitch is pretty good with CGI, whatever. But they're really picking apart Nani. So, but
here's my thing. Everything that I've seen her do in those clips that they've put, she's got the vibe. And that's all I care about.
Right.
Like, she has the vibe. She has the right general look. Yeah. Like, she's a real human, not a cartoon character. Like, stop picking her apart. Like, she's a real human being. But, and like, it's not like she is the completely wrong ethnicity to play the part. Right.
Right.
And it's like, okay. She's the right ethnicity. She's a real human being, but she's fitting the vibe in everything I have seen. So I am actually very optimistic for this film because it feels like they have treated it with care. We shall see when the whole thing comes out. I say we get back to Hook.
Live action.
Live action. We'll see. But anyway, Smee over here, having the time of his life, eating. Mm-hmm. And Hook looks at his hook and has a sublime vision. All the jagged parts of his life have come together to form a complete and mystical whole, an epiphany. And then Smee just goes, a piffy what? I love Smee. I love Smee with all my heart. Oh, he is so pure. Hook just smiles and says, my life is over. Hook says goodbye and walks towards the door. Smee just goes, are you being dramatic? Love Smee. Hook says goodbye, walks through the door again, he walks through the door this time. He walked towards the door earlier. Smee tries to convince Hook by playing with a diorama that they have of Neverland. Like, what? It's a cute diorama, but Smee, what's your goal here?
Visuals.
Hook needs
visuals. Hook
needs visuals, okay.
He does. He's a person that really needs motivation. He needs a target. A person with a dartboard, like zoom. Like, he has to have these things. And as a captain on any captain's ship, they have these things. Piles of little gold on their table, whatever else. Like, this is essential. This is a key point. So, in any kingdom, too, let's say not even on a ship, they have the whole conquering board and their little pieces. So, he's a visual learner. He's a visual captain.
I do appreciate, though, the extent of this little diorama. It has real water in it. And, like, the ship can actually float. Like, he has put time and effort into this diorama. And I can approve that message. He was like, I got time. Peter's gone. Let's have some fun. I like to think that Smee was the one that, like, made a lot of it. But, like, Hook, like, kept, like, giving little ideas of how to make it better. Like, it was, like, a fun
project. He just delegates. And he's just like, no, make sure that candle is here. And then maybe once or twice he took the little sculpting tool, was like, no, let me do it. You know?
I like to think that it's a little project that Hook and Smee just worked on together over the years to perfect it, get what they wanted. Now, you know, Smee's trying to convince Hook. It's not going very well. Hook comes back in with a silver revolver and says, don't make a move, Smee. Obviously, Hook can't shoot himself is what I'm thinking here, or this is going to be a very weird movie. if that gun goes off right now, it's a very different movie than what I expected.
No. But as someone who assumes that that's going to happen, you know, it doesn't. But I do want to take a beat from that and give respects and really honestly put it out there. I didn't want to set the tone for that while we were talking about his accomplishments, but RIP to him, because he has actually passed away in 2014. So he's been gone for some time now.
Yes.
But his work is immortalized. So yeah, well, back to it. No, he didn't. So he lived to breathe another day.
Yeah. Again, it would have been a very different tone in the movie. Hook cocks the gun, places it at the temple of his head, and says, don't try and stop me, Smee. I love Smee here. He just goes, oh, not again. Like, this has happened multiple times. Hook has gone down this path multiple times. And then Hook just keeps telling Smee, don't stop me, Smee. Don't stop me. Smee does nothing. And then Hook just goes, you better stop me, Smee. Smee, you better get off up your off. Off. Yeah. Smee, you better get up off your ass. Get over here. I love the switch and Dustin Hoffman's face when he does that switch. Incredible. Like, he switches from just complete, like, despair and this is terrible to Smee, what in the, like, Smee, get up off your ass. Like, you know the drill. Come on. This isn't the first rodeo. You should know what to do by now.
You're my cheerleader. You're my everything. You are supposed, we have a routine and a shtick, and you're supposed to stick to it. You don't have the luxury of being tired of my crap. You're my underling.
Yeah, my favorite thing about the shtick is that he can't lower the gun himself.
Exactly.
It ruins the shtick. How could he? Now,
no.
They do shoot the revolver.
Mm-hmm.
And it hits their little toy ship. I felt so bad for the little toy ship and the little toy soldiers and the little toy pirates on the toy ship. Because I 100% imagined that they have created mini Smees and mini Hooks and mini pirates. Like, they have put time and effort into this diorama.
I love how it's, like, plural instead of singular. It's like, mini Smees.
Oh, yeah. There's more than one. There's the one that, like, actually is useful, and then there's the other ones which are like, ah, these were our trials, and they don't work anymore. Yeah. I feel like the reject Smees and the reject Hooks became the pirates. Yeah. That's my headcanon. This is what I think about when I watch a film. How many poor pirates drowned on that tiny ship? Anyway, Hook says, don't ever frighten me like that again. What are you, a sadist? Incredible. I love it. Hook wants to die, says that there is no adventure here, and death is the only adventure he has left. Smee works on getting Hook into bed. Meanwhile, the toy boat has sunk, and Smee asks what the world would be like without Captain Hook. Hook then says that he really wants to kill Peter Pan. We hear a ding, and Smee has an apostrophe.
Yes.
Yeah. Quite well. I love Hook going, I think you mean epiphany. And then Smee's just like, lightning has struck my brain. Hook, well, that must have hurt. Incredible. So good. Such a good line. Like, oh, so good. Next time anyone says, I have an idea, ask them how they got it. And if they ever say, lightning has struck my brain, you gotta come back. Steal Dustin Hoffman's comeback, because it is a good one. I have no say in this, but it's been a while. 35 years since this movie's come out. I feel like you can take it.
Yeah, I'm taking apostrophe.
Take apostrophe. Apostrophe is a good one. I got an apostrophe. Now, the apostrophe that he had was that Pan's kids, you can make them like you. Smee says, make the little buggers love you. Hook is just like, Smee, little children do not love me. And Smee's like, that is the point. The ultimate revenge. Pan's kids in love with Hook. It's the ultimate payback. Imagine Pan's face when he faces you and his kids standing right beside you, ready to fight the sleaziest sleaze of the seven seas, Captain Hook. Ready to fight for. I think I missed the word for. But he's fighting for Captain Hook. Here's my thought. The kids have read the stories. Why would they like Captain Hook? Or is Hook going to try and convince them that the stories are skewed? Like, he has never shown his kind side. Like, he is a kind person, but, like, you know, the stories are skewed. Also, does Hook know about the stories? Does Hook know that stories are written about him in this other world? I do not know. What do you think? Do you think Hook knows that stories are written about him?
I think since this is kind of like the aftermath, and, you know, since Peter is not there and Wendy and her brothers have been here before, he's aware of certain things that go on the outside of Neverland than, you know, we're giving credit for. So mm-hmm. I think certain things have been discussed when he kidnapped Wendy and said brothers prior. I think he knows.
Fair enough. Yeah. I think that's fair to say that he knows that stories have been written. Yeah. So Hook says that he likes the plan. He's just come up with a brilliant plan. Make Peter Pan's kids love him. Poor Smee. Now, Hook says that Peter Pan will fly again. He'll remember how. And if he doesn't, these dirty lost boys will help jog his memory. He'll crow, he'll fight, he'll fly, and then he'll die. Beautiful, wonderful, I guess, opening scene for this episode. I loved it. It's great. Now, we head over to Peter Pan. We have been missing from Peter for a little bit because, you know, we had to have self-pity. And the lost boys are on a run, and they have a very fun call and response. I have written out the entire call and response. I'm just going to read it quickly without doing the call and response, but it is a fun one. Now, I would like to note that Peter Pan is giving a kid a piggyback ride during some of this. Now, here's how it goes. Pick 'em up, move 'em down, pick 'em on up, move 'em on down. Ain't no time to celebrate. You are old and overweight. Gotta lose 1,000,000 pounds. Get your fat butt off the ground. Reach on down and touch your toes. How long since you've looked at those? Shape up, lose weight, get thin, gotta win. Jumping jacks are good for you. Now your face is turning blue. Swing your arms around your back. Give yourself a heart attack. Gotta train in the rain, in the sun, in the snow. 10 below, gotta move, gotta groan. It was such a fun sequence. I just wrote down some fun little notes as all of this is happening, when they say how long since you've looked at those, when they're talking about his toes, Peter looks so annoyed with this one. Like, something about Robin Williams' face in that moment, I was just like, he's pissed. He's like, how could you? How dare you call me fat? I am a youthful human being. I am not chubby in the sense. Now, the best one is we see give yourself a heart attack. We see a shot of Rufio and the sword, but it's more of like a silhouette. And then we see Peter walking with a lost boy hanging onto either leg, spinning his arms in the rain. And I'm like, what is this training supposed to be? The other ones I get, you gotta run for cardio, you gotta bend and stretch for flexibility, you gotta flail your arms in the rain. Cool.
Weather resistance for flying?
Don't know.
I'm pretty sure it's more effective if Tinkerbell did it, because she's tiny and raindrops are like catastrophic for her, but
I don't know. I have no idea. It's so odd. I don't know. Then when they do say in the snow, Peter gets hit in the face with a snowball. Rufio does a bird call. So it was a very fun sequence. Very good time over there in training. Rufio is now training Peter in sword fighting. Peter not doing so hot. He does manage to somehow get pantsed in the sword fighting. Things are not looking well for Peter. Now, the Lost Boys start to put body paint on Peter. He's confused of how this helps, asks what's next, and then they go, next, it's time to fly. And I was like, oh, please, 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 please take him to the edge of a cliff and push him off a cliff and say, fly. Sadly, this is not what happens. What happens is also great, but that's what I wanted to happen. Was that they just take him to the top of a cliff and then they just shove him off.
You wanted a true cartoon moment.
I felt like we had deserved it. We got a 75% cartoon moment. They've attached him to a giant slingshot. No notes. Perfect. My only note would have been, you could have done it with less gadgets. But you know what? The Lost Boys need to have some fun. Let's attach him to a slingshot. And then they're just like, hey, one happy thought will make you fly. And I was like, ah, I got it. Robin Williams and Peter Pan over there just go, I got it. Not being in this slingshot will make me happy. And then we get him launched off the slingshot. We get, he's going up. He's going up. He's going down. And he splats into a mud pool of sorts. It definitely wasn't water. It had some give to it. I don't know what it was, though. Do you know what it was?
I want to say, like, the muddy version of, like, quicksand, you know, but obviously not as deadly. Okay. I feel like it, all kind of terrains are in Neverland, so...
Oh, they get everything in, like, a two-second walk. It's incredible. I also think that maybe Tink has some magic powers that can, like, change the weather.
You know what, there's maybe a lot of talks in different things, but in this movie, you know, like, who knows, you know, because sometimes you never get a fool. Yeah.
We'll get to that. Tink does some things. I don't know if I like it.
Oh, Julia Roberts, yeah.
I don't mind Julia Roberts, she's great, but, like, Tink. Okay. Okay, Tink.
Cool, like me a spicy.
Look, I don't mind a spicy Tink, but like, Tink, boundaries. Now, we're back with Hook, and we are in class. Lesson one, why parents hate their children. Cool, wonderful lesson. Maggie says, Mommy reads to us every night because she loves us very much. And then Hook is confused, and Smee's just like, the L word. Hook says that she reads every night to stupefy them to sleep so that she and Daddy can have 3 minutes without you. And I was like, that version of Peter Panning was not giving her 3 minutes. Take it how you want.
I'm gonna leave it on.
Fair enough. Moving on. Hook, incredible thing here. He mimics a child just going, I want, me, now. He tells them that the stories that they are told are to shut you up and conk you out. Maggie says that that is not true and that Hook is a liar. Hook says that before she was born, the parents used to stay up all night together just to see the sunrise. Before you were born, they were happier. They were free. Maggie calls him a bad man. They flunk Maggie and give her an F. And this is where she gets handed an F, right? Like, they physically draw it an F. But she says an F. Shouldn't it be AF? Hello, everyone, and welcome to the intermission. I hope you're all enjoying these episodes following Hook and all the fun that Robin Williams and this star-studded cast brings to this film. Now, just a couple of housekeeping things before we get back into this incredible film. First off, thank you so much for listening to this episode. We hope you are enjoying it. If you would like to support the show and gain access to some bonus content, you can do so by heading over to patreon.com/coopforge. So that's patreon.com/co_opforge. Sign up for any of the tiers. You get access to different types of bonus content like our notes. You get access to our Discord. You can also get access to bonus videos or bloopers and things that didn't make the final cuts of the episode that we actually published live. So all of that lives over on patreon.com/coopforge, co_opforge. And thank you to anyone who does sign up. All the money that we make from the Patreon goes right back into these shows, helping us not be in the red while we are making the shows and the fun content that we love making for you all. Now, if you want to help out the show in a non-monetary way, that is fantastic as well. Thank you so much. There are a couple ways that you can do this. One, word of mouth is a great way to help raise awareness of the show and just promote the show in general. Just reach out to a friend, reach out to someone who listens to podcasts and is just like, hey, there's this podcast and it's an actor going in and it's a deep dive looking at films and his thoughts, his predictions, but also just a deep dive into the scenes and what they make you think about. And it's a really fun time and a good listen. It really does help us out a lot. Be sure to talk about us and follow us on social media at CoopForge, CO_OPFORGE on Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook. And then you can also follow at PostFinalePod on Instagram. And we have some fun conversations over there. Talk about us, share videos, and just talk about the podcast on social media. That helps us out a lot as well. Now, last but not least, I just want to say a huge thank you to all of you who have already done this, anyone who will do this in the future. Just thank you so much, and let us get back into this episode and figuring out what in the world is going on with Robin Williams in Hook. Because I thought an was used when it's a vowel, not a consonant. But now it's an F, but not AF?
When I love when children can one-up an adult, you know.
This isn't one-upping an adult. This is just pure confusion of grammar.
I mean, it makes the adult scratch their head like, wait, what? Am I wrong? Are you wrong?
I don't know. This is why I'm asking the question, Adoria. Help me out here. You're the one that can look stuff up.
Look. The kid is right. The adult is wrong. Every kid is right in Peter Pan. That's just the logic.
Oh, I'm glad that you added the caveat of in Peter Pan, because I was about to be like, you are dead wrong. And if you think that every kid is right, boy, do I got to tell your daughter some things. And just be like, hey, so the next time your mom says that you're wrong, no, here's the clip. But now I can't do that.
I mean, you could put it and not have the Peter Pan in there. And I'm like, I said in Peter Pan.
Yeah, but I'm not that mean of a friend to edit that out. Like, if you had just left it vague, I am that mean of a friend where I would have been like, okay, like, hey, I'm gonna send you something, but also, like, I'd be like, hey, send this to your daughter, because I'd send it to you and then just be like, send it to your daughter. And like, I wouldn't tell you what it is and just be like, it's a gift for her. Like,
yeah, she walks around with this little personal recorder. Children are right. They're like, use your mom, use your voice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I would have been like, give me your address. I'm going to ship you something. Here you go. Because I am that mean of a friend and I am that petty. However, I can't.
My friend sent you something, honey. Isn't that cute? And then she plays it. And I'm like, huh.
Huh. I need to find an onkit and murder him. Now, Hook hits Jack with knowing that Peter went to the school play, but he missed your most important baseball game on the most important day of your young life. So I do like the idea that you're saying that, like, Hook knows what's going on in the other world, right? Because he seems to have a recollecting, or at least, like, if he doesn't get the news himself, somehow he is given the news, however that may be. Now, Maggie jumps and tries to rip off Hook's hook. Hook just laughs and says that no children love me. And I just go, I have a feeling Jack may like you. And then Smee says, you're depressing the captain, and carries Maggie away. Maggie yells to Jack that Neverland makes you forget. Never forget. Remember mommy and daddy. Run home. Jack looks dazed for a moment when he hears run home. And then Hook says, Jack, you are home. Ooh. Ha. Things are not looking good for Peter over here, if he is trying to catch and save his kiddos. Things are looking bad. For sure. So, Peter, back with him, he's in a lot of pain, aching from training. You know, makes sense. And he smells good food. He's happy. Yep, we've made it to mealtime. He grabs utensils, and he just gets told, we don't use those here. We have them, so we don't need to use them. I love it. Then Thudbutt, the large lost boy, sits down and the entire bench rises. Why would you not save Thudbutt a seat in the middle of the bench? This seems like it is a common occurrence.
They obviously want the effect of sliding to gripe and like the chaos of, you know, being boys and rowdy and nothing is just properly in its place and just.
I mean, like, everything is chaos in the Lost Boys area. I don't even know what that's called. Is it called the camp? The cave?
I could have swore they called it a couple of things. Like, before Pan left, and then something else when he's back. So, I couldn't quote myself on it.
Okay. They all go to say grace. Peter actually starts saying words. Everyone else just yells the word grace, and then they attack the food. And there is food, but nothing is visible. And I was just like, oh, he has to believe to be able to eat the food, doesn't he? Cool. That makes sense. Like, yeah, sure. Like, I've put together what's going on, but I'm also a 27-year-old watching a movie that I'm pretty sure the target audience was, like, maybe middle schoolers. Elementary, middle schoolers.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm doing great. Yeah. I'm also missing things that probably some of these elementary and middle schoolers have seen. Now, Thudbutt asks if he's going to eat that. Peter, good guy that he is, gives it to him. Tink tells him to eat up, and if he can't imagine being Peter, then he'll never beat him. Eat up. And Peter's just like, eat what? Where's the real food? Gandhi ate more than this. I was taking a drink of water during that line. I almost did a real life spit take.
I do them all the time. You should try it sometimes. Not all the time, but I did as a kid. That was my thing. I had to train myself before, like, you know, teenage years and on up. Like, I was like, control myself. I literally had hilarious cousins that would do it at dinner time or the wrong times possible on purpose because they knew I was a goof troop. So yeah, spit takes are my specialty. Like, that was the moment to do it. That really was.
Yeah. It was such a good joke. Such a good joke. And like, props to Robin Williams. Like, so well delivered. Now, we learned that this used to be his favorite game. He wants some real food. Rufio chimes in and says, "You can't eat. Eat your heart out, you crinkled, wrinkled, fat bag." Rufio seems the harshest, and it makes me think, I think Steven and I were talking about this, but it makes me think that, you know, what we were saying, that Rufio was kind of like Peter's best friend. And I guess, like, Rufio might have felt, like, abandoned when Peter left, and Peter didn't come back. And so I think, like, he is still holding on to some of that. Because he definitely seems the harshest out of all the Lost Boys towards Peter.
Yeah, I mean, and it's displacement. You know, here's Peter back, and I have been running the show this whole time. I didn't abandon anyone. Like, you know, he's guilt-tripping him. It's a lot of elements that's coming out in one. But, you know, it's mainly the abandonment. And, like, yeah. Now you're stepping into my territory. This is mine. You gave it up. It's mine. Just go away.
He's 100% justified. Don't get me wrong. Rufio, justified. Also, love Dante Basco. I cannot say that enough. Now, Peter calls him ill-mannered, and Rufio's just like, "You're a slug-eating worm." Tink tells Peter that he can do better. Peter is surprised that Tink is encouraging this. And then we get hit by this, which is, "Show me your fastball, dust brain, you punchy sag-bottom puke pot." Then all the Lost Boys yell, "Bangarang, Rufio." And then some other Lost Boys who aren't at the table run up behind Peter. Do they not get to eat dinner? Like, what?
It's a hierarchy in the Lost Boys.
Where are they coming from? Because they did not just get up off of this table and go stand behind Peter. Like, no, 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 no. They ran in from off screen, away from the dinner table, to come in behind Peter. They don't get to eat.
They're the extras. They're the flaw of the movie. There's always a flaw. And that was not thought about in post-production and stuff.
Wasn't thought in production. Like, just these poor children don't get to eat. They are starving the Lost Boy. Rufio, you are not a good leader. How could you?
Maybe they imagined their food behind the trees and they were nibbling, you know, before coming out full force. Like, we don't eat at tables. We eat behind trees and in bushes. Like,
that's a surprising amount to eat in some trees. Like, Rufio, do better. Be a better leader.
Yeah, something.
Yeah, apparently Lost Boys ain't eaten. Anyway, so Peter Pan calls Rufio a bad role model. Everyone does the, like, whistle explosion. Do you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, that one. And then you don't have... Peter goes, "You don't have a fourth grade reading level." And I just go, "Does he have a reading level at all? Can he read? I don't know. This hasn't been established. I don't know if Rufio can read." And then Rufio goes, "Hermoidal suck navel." Maybe a fifth grade reading level. Incredible. So good. I don't know what that is, and I'm pretty sure I have higher than a fifth grade reading level. Do you know what that is?
I don't. I'm not even going to pretend I do. Like, honestly, I need to go back to that scene and just put on some glasses and notes and, like, what did he mean?
Oh, it's okay. I've done that for you. This is why we have this show. A hermoidal suck navel. I have Googled it. Okay. Maybe I need to add a what is? That's telling me about ovulation. That doesn't feel like it's the right thing.
You never know. There's always hidden adult jokes in
What's this? Oh, that is legitimately him saying the line in the film. That's not helpful, YouTube. This might have just been something that he said in the film. But the quick look at it is that it seems like it has to do with something of the pelvic area, maybe, but it might also be a made-up thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's something that is highly more intelligent than, you know, the insult of not knowing much as a fourth grader. And that was like, oh, okay, well, you just should have been.
Right? Yeah, if there are any, I don't know, medical human beings that know if this is a real term, could you let me know? Because I'd love to learn. I like learning.
Yeah, but, I have vocabulary like every other week or terms or some random fun fact. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't write down all the insults, but I did write down some of them. They keep going back and forth, and Rufio keeps insulting Peter, and the Lost Boys are into it. Peter finally calls him a substitute chem teacher. Rufio says mung tongue, math tutor. These are all just going back and forth, by the way, so I'm going to try to do a different voice. Substitute chem teacher, mung tongue. Math tutor, pinhead. Prison barber, mother lover. Nearsighted gynecologist, in-your-face camel cake. In your rear cow derriere, lying, crying, spying, prying, ultra pig. Lewd, crude bag of pre-chewed food, dude. And then all the Lost Boys yell, Bangarang Peter. Bangarang feels like he won? Is that like...
Yeah.
Okay, great.
It's more like a ding, ding, ding. Okay, winner, Peter.
Okay, great. Lovely. Rufio looks like he is about to cry. But it does make me think that he is betrayed. And he just feels hurt that, like, you're showing me up in front of these people that are my followers.
At the end of the day, you're probably going to leave again. And now I have to get them to fall back in line, yada, yada, yada. Yeah.
Yeah. So he tries to hit him back. Rufio hits him back with, you man, you stupid, stupid man. Poor Rufio. Not that good, Rufio. He then gets hit with, and I quote, if I'm a maggot burger, why don't you just eat me? You two-toned zebra-headed, slime-coated, pimple-farming, paramecium brain, munching on your own mucus, suffering from Peter Pan envy. What's a paramecium brain?
You know what? I don't know, but I just know telling someone they suffer from an envy of wanting to be you, having that complex, that's the burn. That's the burn.
Oh, the burn is very true. Oh, paramecium brain. No eyes, no ears, no brain, no heart.
So like an organism? Like just like an amoeba? I don't know.
He literally just called him a single-cell organism munching on his own mucus, suffering from envy to try to be like me. Damn, that is cold.
I mean, not even a carbon copy of what you are, less than anything that substantially is creating a creature or human being. Like,
right?
Yikes.
And... I mean, like, okay, so I'm not the only one that was confused on what a paramecium brain is. Someone, one of the Lost Boys, actually asks that question, right? And then he points at Rufio and says, that's a paramecium. It's a one-celled critter with no brain that can't fly. Don't mess with me, man. I'm a lawyer. And I was like, Peter, you were doing so well. Why did you have to bring law into this?
I mean, but that, okay, switching gears just a tiny bit. I love the show How I Met Your Mother. And when Marshall owns someone, he's like lawyer. Oh. So I think that stands. For me with Peter, it stands. I like it.
I love the show How I Met Your Mother. If I am ever watching How I Met Your Mother, I will watch up until the end of the midway point of the final episode, and then I'm going to YouTube and watching the alternate ending, because the official ending is stupid and dumb.
I've seen the series, I don't know how many times, but I never watched the alternate ending because the ending for me is just, it's acceptable.
It's nice. Look, I'll watch the original ending. Why? It pissed me off.
Yes.
It pissed me off.
But it was human, because people will make dumb choices in life and still end up coming in a full circle. And just like, now, bringing it back to Pan, like, you do things, you run away from responsibilities or whatever, and you find yourself back in a place that you left.
That's fine, but like, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen How I Met Your Mother, skip like 30 seconds to a minute. But like, Robin and Barney worked so much better together than Ted and Robin. All right, this is a debate for later. That's what I'm learning.
To be honest, they were a great triangle because she had great moments with both. There were friendship foundations and good relationship points. It's just she wasn't ready for certain things in those points, even with both of them. No one could make this woman conform.
Yeah. Do you want to know the one that I hated the most in that? She never wanted to have kids, but according to the end, she's okay with now having kids.
I mean, it was a couple of times when she saw certain things. She had epiphanies and moments. I think it's levels to it. Did she want to carry them and ruin her body? No. Was she okay with kind of playing stepmother to older kids that basically don't need their hands held? Yes.
Fair. All right. Anyway, back to Hook. He has successfully done the insulting. The other kids start chanting banning, banning. Rufio tries to get them to chant Rufio. It doesn't work. Peter grabs a spoon and tells Rufio to suck on dead dog's nose, and then he flings food at Rufio, and a pink and blue glob actually hits Rufio in the face to surprise Peter, and he's believing he's using his imagination. Yay! He now sees all of the beautiful food. They have turkey, they have cakes, they have fruits, they have cheese. The Lost Boys are happy that he is playing with them, and he's doing it. Rufio leaves to sulk in the corner while everyone else eats. Thudbutt tells Peter to catch and hits him in the face with some cake. Someone does the same to Pockets. Pockets didn't deserve that. Now, and Peter retaliates on Thudbutt. Thudbutt deserved that. Now, yup, it's a wonderful food fight. Incredible score. Here we go. Rufio, on the other hand, out here looking to conk someone out, not looking for a food fight, picks up a coconut and chucks it at Peter. Someone throws Peter a sword. He spins because style points, and he slices the coconut in a perfect half. And everyone is staring at him in awe. Peter looks closely at the sword and then drops it, and Thudbutt quietly says, "Bangarang." That was a great ending. It was such a fun scene.
It really was. It really was. It was climactic.
But like you said, you're playing. Let's go. You're playing. And that is where we are going to take our quick intermission, and then we are going to be right back. We're just going to keep going. Cool. So later, Thudbutt asks to talk to Peter. He remembers Tootles and that he was lost too. He was a lost boy. Thudbutt gives Peter Tootles' marbles and his happy thoughts. Peter laughs because Tootles really did lose his marbles. He lost him good. Now, Thud says that his happy thought will help Peter. His is his mother, asks if Peter remembers his mother, and Peter wishes that he could. They listen and they hear what sounds like singing. We cut to Jack on a ship, and he says Mom sung that song. Smee pulls him away, asking about a baseball game and mates standing on horseback, or like, what are they doing? I don't know what's going on in the game of baseball. Meanwhile, we see that Maggie is the one that is singing the song, and all the pirates are listening. When you're alone, you're not really alone, is the gist of what she is saying. I like how Hook has a double cigarette. He looks upset with the whole situation happening, and the Lost Boys blow out the lights and head to sleep. Now, the next morning, we open on a shot of Hook's stash, and it's twitching in his sleep. We also get a close-up of Jack, and he is still holding on to the pocket watch that Peter gave him. It's about 6:39 in the morning. I don't know why that's important, but I felt like that was important. Hook hears the tick-tock and thinks that the stopwatch may be the clock. Smee, to the rescue, says that Hook killed the croc years ago, smashed every clock they could find. The little boy didn't know any better. Jack agrees. Jack's like, I didn't know. I'm sorry. And they're off to the museum. And it is a museum of smashed clocks. This seems like a crappy museum. So Jack is given this mallet to smash this clock. And I'm like, no, Jack, don't do it. I don't know why I said this out loud. It's not like he can hear me from 35 years in the future. guess what he does? He smashes the pocket watch. And then, but I will say, he goes, this is for never letting me blow bubbles in my chocolate milk. And then he smashes it. Two things. One, Peter, you gotta let the kid blow some bubbles every now and again. Every now and again. Right? Like, not all the time. Right? It's like, hey, Jack, you gotta drink this or you're gonna be late for your game. But if he's not harming anyone, does it really matter all that much? Right? I mean, like, my niece was here today, and I started messing with her, and my sister was like, that's not helpful. And because she was like, Mom, open this. And then I opened it, and I was like, Mom didn't do it. And she's like, why? And I'm like, I'm not here to be helpful. Like, you know, I'm the one that tells her not to do her homework when she grows up. Like, I'm the...
No.
Doing homework is important. And if I'm ever in a situation where I'm, like, actually taking care of her, like, I will make sure that things get done. But, like, I'm also the one that's like, hi, I don't see you all the time. So when I do see you, we're going to go play some games and we're going to go have some fun. Like, let's go. Because I'm constantly working and trying to make life happen. So, good form on the mallet smashing as well. And then he smashes another one. Never let me jump on my own bed. I loved jumping on my bed. It was so satisfying. But I also did get yelled at for jumping on my bed, so I get this one. I do love the line here. Make time stand still, laddie. Now... Then he gets, for always making promises and breaking them and never doing anything with me, for a father who wouldn't save you on the ship, and he says, who wouldn't save us, and then Hook chimes in, who couldn't save you. And then Jack says he wouldn't, he didn't even try, he was there, we were there, and he wouldn't even fly. Jack is upset, very smart on Hook here, to pry on Jack and not Maggie. Because Maggie still has young innocence and believes all the good in her dad. Jack has demons.
Absolutely. 100%.
Like, Jack's demons. Ooh, very smart of Hook to just be like, Maggie, go sit in the brig. I love that Maggie's just not important in this film. Maggie's just, like, a plot device who exists.
I mean, to be fair...
No, say it. It's okay, you can say it. This is a safe space. It's only the internet.
So, question.
Oh, no, now I'm curious. Now you've piqued my curiosity.
So look, I have this knack as an actor to make things seem more interesting. Not even interesting.
Cool. I still want to know what you were gonna say.
Nothing, just that, you know, like, everyone can't be important, you know, so.
Oh, 100%. Maggie, my favorite bit about Maggie is that, like, so far my favorite bit about Maggie is, like, everything else plot-wise has made sense, except for why is she randomly singing a song that night?
Things that make you scratch the back of your head and raise your eyebrow, you know?
Did they just find out that this little girl could sing and they were like, we'll toss that into the film?
Right. Let's have her show off her chops, you know?
Yeah. This might get her a job later in life. We'll throw it in there for them.
Yep.
But yeah, now Hook tells Jack that Peter will try, and the question will be, when the time comes, do you want to be saved? Jack is about to answer, but Hook says, no, 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 no. Do not answer now. Now is the time to be whatever you want. Put behind any thought of home and that place of broken promises. Hook hands him a baseball and asks if he's ever made a promise he hasn't kept. And I don't think he has. I'm pretty sure that Hook has kept every promise that he has made.
Except for getting Peter.
Well, okay. He can't fulfill that promise. Because if he fulfills that promise, then we don't have a film. And then we got problems.
or he's the second one. Getting that pesky crocodile.
Oh, I don't know. That pesky crocodile. He did get it, though. He did get it. Oh, okay. Maybe he didn't. I don't know. That silence speaks words. Okay, cool. Anyway, moving on. We're at a pirate baseball game. Woo! Sports. I like how we have time for sports in this fun, silly movie. And now, the Lost Boys are also here in disguise with Peter. Peter doesn't like the game. Steal Hook's hook as fast as you can. Then you can crow like Pan. What is this crow thing? I'm so confused. Is he actually just gonna crow like a crow? I'm confused on what crow is. Is this a thing from Peter Pan originally that I'm just forgetting?
Well, he does that. It's kind of like his little call thing, you know, when he's in the air and flying around and carefree. Like, that's his thing.
Okay, so it is just a Peter Pan thing that I'm forgetting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I can live with that. I can live with it being a Peter Pan thing that I'm forgetting. Now, Hook tells Drusilla to glove him. The game is about to start. She takes off the hook and places it down on the table. The Lost Boys tell Peter to steal the hook and the hook to then be able to crow. Now, just as Peter is about to steal the hook, Jack steps up to the plate. Peter hears Hook say this for all the games. This is for all the games your daddy missed. Hook would never miss your games, son. And Peter freezes. The Lost Boys tell him to take it, but Peter instead is now watching Jack. Smee lines up for the pitch, and there's a guy that's stealing second, and the catcher shoots the runner. Victoria, you gotta say things if you're gonna say something. Faces don't help in an audio visual.
Those rascally pirates and boys do.
For anyone that was just listening to the episode, Adoria was making some very fun faces, but I think Adoria forgot that there's also an audio medium to this show.
I'm a very expressive person, and sometimes my face cannot hide how I feel and what I want to say. And
but you can't say the thing?
Yeah, you know, it wants to speak for me. And, you know, it's kind of like when you have that telepathy look between people and you're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. You know what I mean, right? But obviously you guys can't see it. So,
anyone watching on YouTube can see it.
Yeah, but the ones that, you're in love with audiobooks and everything else and you don't got time to just keep your eyes glued to a screen, you know, and burn your retinas.
That's valid. Look, I don't watch podcasts on YouTube. Like, I listen to podcasts on a different app that doesn't pay me money.
I'm 2080. I'll probably watch 20% of them if it's interesting because I want to see what was probably done while being said. But the majority of them, no, I don't either.
Yeah. It's okay. Sometimes we just need that little reminder of like, hey, we gotta say words. We can't just express faces. Nah, you're good. Now, that poor runner, like, Hook calls to stop the game, and he says, we are playing the game according to Master Jack's rules, bad form, now sit down. The poor bloke that was following Jack's rules just died.
Unfortunately, you know, oh, God.
All he did was listen to Jack's rules. Jack said that you are allowed to steal a base. He did that, and he paid for it dearly. Justice for this runner!
Oh, yes. Who knew games could be so vicious? Yeah, I mean,
if you've ever played a sport, then you know that games can be vicious.
No. I mean, level of Hunger Game level. Like, this is, I'll lose my life over this. Like, in hockey, you lose a tooth. And you know, in boxing, you know, you kind of get a black eye or something. Or football, a concussion. Okay, those are bad things still, too. But he literally got shot. Where do weapons and, like, armor come into play with other games?
Right. I completely see what you're saying. Can I also just point out, the catcher is a really good shot because he fired a singular bullet and that man did not move again.
Oh, gosh.
Like, in terms of being a pirate, he 10 out of 10 on accuracy.
Hey, well, maybe he should
be the pitcher. He'd throw a strike every time.
I think he wants to stay a sharpshooter sniper type pirate.
That's not where the catchers go. That's the outfield. They gotta launch the ball from the outfield to first base. Like, that's the outfield. That is not the sharpshooter. I don't know. That catcher though, good shot. Just saying. Great shot. And then as Hook is sitting down though, he just goes, very violent sport, isn't it, baseball? No, Hook, I think that's just you. I think that's just y'all as pirates. Now, this is my guess, is that Jack is going to hit the ball. He's going to hit a homer, and it's going to land right next to the Lost Boys, and it's going to give them up, and then they're going to have to flee, and they're not going to successfully steal the hook. So the crowd is chanting, run home, Jack. Run home, Jack. Jack starts to remember Maggie. Hook tells me that they have it backwards, so Hook goes and makes the Pirates turn around, and then they have home run, Jack. Home run, Jack. Great, incredible joke. Fantastic. No notes. Smee has his hands like he is throwing a curve, and Jack smashes it for a huge home run. Hook says, my Jack, and Peter just quietly goes, my Jack. Like, he's so offended, and I'm like, Peter, you are not a good dad. Hook is currently being a better dad. Be a better dad if you want to claim him as my Jack. Now, I'm glad Peter sees this, though, because it's a way to knock some sense into him, and hopefully it does knock some sense into him. So, instead of, you know, stealing the hook, Peter just walks away and doesn't steal the hook. Thud picks up his hat and then slams it to the ground. Thud seems upset. And then we have Peter hitting the ground. He's trying to fly.
He is. He's struggling.
But he can't.
So hard.
He can't fly. You know, he just isn't able to fly. He's really trying to fly. Mm-hmm. And I'm guessing that Rufio is going to be the one that's going to be able to get him get this breakthrough to be able to fly. Peter climbs up the top of the structure. And then he goes, less is more. Comes down a level. Still can't fly. He then gets hit in the head with the baseball that Jack hit. That ball was in the air for ages. Peter looks into the water. He sees the reflection of his young self. And we get a Peter Pan shadow. The shadow has finally shown up. The shadow seems to be telling Peter to follow something, and Peter starts pulling down vines, and he sees a tree that has a face on it. In the face, where I'm guessing the eye is a piece of wood that has Toodles, Wendy, John, Michael, Peter carved into it. This also opens up some sort of secret passageway. Peter jumps into the secret passage, sees Tink down there, and it is a beautiful sequence. Blue sequence dress that Tink is wearing. Now, Peter asks, what is the occasion? And Tink says that it is a welcome home party. If it's a party, Tink, this is a real bad party because you're the only one here, and I know for a fact the rest of the Lost Boys are around. This is not a party. This is This is a sad get together.
Oh gosh. Why does it have to be sad though?
Because it is.
They want to just celebrate. You know, he's back, partially back, you know, remnants of his own self. Tank just loves to just dazzle anytime he's around anyway. Any reason to flex, you know, some kind of beauty. Like, that dress is probably catching dust in the back of her closet. And she's like, here it is. Let me put it on.
No. Tink looks beautiful. Tink deserves to wear this dress. All I'm saying is that, Tink, this is not a party. You live with the Lost Boys. This is a bad party, Tink. It's a bad party. All I'm saying.
They're kids. They're kids.
Tink
they're
is not a kid.
No. The Lost Boys. They are. They're permanent little boys. but they've all been around for a while.
Yeah. Now, we learned that it's a welcome home party. Hook burnt this place to the ground when Peter didn't come back. Peter finds what looks like an old thimble, and then he says, kiss, Wendy. He realizes that this is Wendy's house. Toodles and Nibs built it for her. And I was like, which one is Nibs?
Nibs.
Met Nibs?
As a solo character in this, I believe at this point, part in the movie, no.
Okay.
No.
Great. Okay, lovely. I just didn't know if we had met Nibs in this movie.
No.
Now, he remembers all of this, right? He remembers Wendy sitting in the chair, used to tell them stories, Tink's apartment, Michael and the basket bed. He finds his old teddy, and mother put him in the pram to keep him company. And then he remembers his mother. We have flashbacks to him in a pram. And for anyone that's curious on what a pram is, it's like a fancy baby stroller. If you've ever seen one of those, it's like the one with like the four wheels. They all have four wheels now that I think about it. That was a dumb way to start this description. But like, it's the fancy one. When you think of a fancy stroller and like you think like royal family pushing a baby in a stroller, that's what a pram is. Right, that's the easiest way to put together what it is.
It's a large metal wheels with a very big bottom cradle carriage, like a shopping cart, but has like a little kind of awning that covers the baby from like sun exposure and everything else. So it was a woman's version of a shopping cart for a baby.
This is why I have Adoria on. She knows how to explain things. Now, I can explain a movie. I can't explain, apparently, what a prim is. Anyway, so he is in this prim, and mom says that he will attend Whitehall and then Oxford. And then after graduating, he will prepare for a judgeship in the highest court, then marriage, family, all of that. Then the Abbey carriage starts to roll. What? Oh, the baby carriage is what I tried to write, and I wrote Abby Carriage in my notes. I'm doing great. Now, Peter says...
Words are hard.
Huh?
Words are hard.
Oh, very much so. Now, Peter says that he was afraid. He didn't want to grow up because everyone that grew up has to die someday. So he ran away, and there was a baby in the rain, and Tink found him and then saved him. Brought him to Neverland and taught him to fly. He flew to his own window, but it was shut and they had forgotten about him. He found the other windows to visit, ones that weren't shut closed on him. That's how he met Wendy. Traced his shadow into her nursery. Now, we expected the shadow and I would join like the drops of water. I like how the shadow is Peter's but never wants to be with Peter. It's a very fun gag that I've liked throughout all the various Peter Pan things. Now, he came back many times for Wendy, usually in the spring. Wendy kept getting older and older until the last time. Wendy says that she can't go with him. She's forgotten how to fly. Wendy says that she has grown old and has children of her own, and they have children of their own. Peter is upset. She promised not to grow old. Peter says that, you know, something has changed in him when he saw her, wanted to give her a kiss, but Wendy says no buttons, no thimbles. I don't want her heart to be broken when she finds out she can't keep you. And Peter says no. I mean a real kiss. He leans down and kisses Moira, teenage Moira. He is also a teenager. This is weird, but like skirt past it. And then Tink shows up, sees this, and is sad, and a thimble falls to the ground. Tink finally understands. We're back in the present. Tink understands why he has had trouble finding a happy thought. There's so many sad memories for Peter. He looks at Teddy, changes it to Daddy, and seems happy. He knows why he came back, why he grew up. He wanted to be a father. He's turned out to be a crappy one, is what I wrote, but hopefully this is going to change. His happy thought, he's got it. He was flying. Nope, he lost it. Tink tells him to think of his happy thought. He does. He is able to fly. All the Lost Boys see Peter flying and are thrilled. Peter flies and is who he once was, flying high and high over Neverland. Rufio does not look happy, but gets pantsed by Peter as Peter is flying around.
Yep.
And then the Lost Boys clamor. Peter flies around the base, and now Peter is doing a backstroke while flying. He's having fun. He's playing baseball. He's flying. Yay. It's going well. Rufio has the sword. He comes to confront Peter. Rufio falls to his knees and offers Peter his sword, saying back is Pan. Mm-hmm. Or saying that he is back and that he is. Peter draws a line in the sand. All the Lost Boys cross it. Rufio says, you can fly, you can fight, you can. And then he crows. And this is when I clocked, like, what the crow was.
Yes.
It is legitimately just a crow. And so much fun. Rufio and Peter bow to each other. I love that there is a connection, even though I was wrong in my guess that, you know, that Rufio is going to be the one to help unlock it. I think it's right that Tink is the one to help unlock it, but I like that they have that moment of connection and that moment of trust and that like bonding of like, you know, you're back. I trust you now. I trust you. Like, I'm sorry. And a lot was said in that little exchange. Peter is officially back. It is a party. And that is where we are going to end this lovely, slightly longer episode than normal of post finale. But Adoria, thank you so much for joining.
Thank you again for having me.
Always a pleasure. If people want to find you on the internet, they want to keep up to date with the projects that you're doing, how can they do that? Where can they find you?
Best thing to find me on is Instagram. And I'll have like that little thing in my description for other links. But it is Adoria Lily. And it is A-B-O-R-I-A-L-I-L-Y. My tag name, if you can't find Adoria, and if there's any other Adorias, there's really only one that matters. You can look me up as Thick Pocahontas with two C's, not C-K. T-H-I-C-C. Pocahontas, but Hontas is spelled with an A instead of an O.
Wonderful. We will try to leave links to everything down in the description as well. Adoria, thank you so much for joining. Listeners, thank you so much for listening. Be sure to tune in next week. If you've listened this far, please leave a rating, leave a review. It really helps us out. You can leave comments now on like Spotify about this episode in particular. So really help us out. It is wonderful. It helps us out. If you go over and you subscribe on our YouTube channel, which is Co-op Forge, COOPFORGE, then once we hit 100 subscribers, I'm going to do something fun on this show for that, and we can decide as a community what we want that to be. But that's where we're keeping track of that. So thank you all so much for listening. Be sure to tune in next week when we get to the end of Hook and just the end of this story. Adoria is going to be back joining us once again for that. But until then, I'll catch y'all later.
Bye, guys.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Post Finale. Post Finale is created and hosted by me, Ankit Mandira. It is produced by Ankit Mandira and Steven Nyman. The music is by Ankit Mandira and Megan Hutchison. The art is by Jared Rother, and our editor is Ant Cervellin. If you like the show, please Follow us on social media at co-opforge, co_opforge on Instagram and TikTok and Facebook to keep up to date on everything that's happening with the podcast. And you can also follow at postfinalepod on Instagram if you just want updates for this show. Talk about us on social media. It really does help us out a lot. And thank you to anyone who has done this in the past or who will do this in the future. If you want to support in a monetary way and get access to some bonus content, you can do so by heading over to patreon.com/coopforge. That's patreon.com/co_opforge. And all the money raised on that Patreon goes directly back into the show to make it a better experience for you, the listeners. We just want to create good content while not being in the red while doing so. And your support means the world to us. If you can support in a non-monetary way, that's great as well. Just tell a friend about the show. Word of mouth is the best way to grow the show, and it really does help us out a lot. Leave a rating, a review, subscribe, follow on whatever podcast app you are listening on. If you're listening on our YouTube channel, Co-op Forge, please hit a follow. If you're listening on another app, if you could do us a favor and go hit us follow on our YouTube channel, it would help us out. If we hit 100 subscribers on our YouTube channel, we got a special thing coming out for you all. But until then, thank you all so much for listening to this episode of Post Finale, and be sure to join us next week as we get on to more shenanigans. And until then, I'll catch y'all later.